The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome back. This is our final Dharma practice day for this series until we start another series of things in the fall. And if any of you are new, then the series, what we're doing is the Buddha's teachings on mindfulness of breathing, Anapanasati. And it seems that in the time of the Buddha, that in his teachings, that one of the primary meditation subjects or objects was mindfulness of breathing. There's a slew of other ones that he practiced or taught. High up in the list of seemingly things that he emphasized was meditation on the body and meditation on the elements, which is part of the body. He also emphasized meditation on loving-kindness. So my guess is the top three meditation practices taught by the Buddha were the breath, the body, and loving-kindness. And then there's a lot of other ones that were taught, but they can mention a little bit. And it's possible that breathing is really the top of the list. So when I think a little bit more, maybe romantically, about my breathing, meditation on the breath, I think of how when the Buddha focused on his breathing, the sensations of breathing, many of the same sensations that I have. It's not that different, right? The physiological process of breathing is not that different. You know, when he breathed in, he probably felt his belly or his chest expand. When he breathed out, he probably felt it, you know, release and go back, or he felt the same sensations of tingling or something as the air goes in through the nostrils. So, you know, it's not that different. And so for me, it makes me feel a little close to the Buddha, you know, that or it's the idea that we have all this in common. And rather than being bored by the commonality, it actually inspires me to be more engaged in this process of breathing. And so he taught these 16 stages to breath meditation. And this breath meditation practice is somewhat progressive. And there's four groups. Those 16 stages are divided into four groups of four. And each four almost stands by itself as a practice. Many of the different practices or sub-practices in the Buddhist tradition can be treated as practices and complete practices in their own right, because there's a wonderful way in which there's a kind of this, the interaction between the different aspects of our mind and our body. You go in one place, it touches everything else. And so so not necessary to follow necessarily the 16 steps, you know, all the way from beginning to the end. You can just do one really thoroughly, or a few of them, one tetrad really thoroughly, and tendencies it'll open up to the others without even trying. But there are, you know, and there's a classic way of looking at the 16 as being progressive. The four divisions, the four tetrads, are described as being, the first tetrad has to do with the body. The second tetrad has to do with, the first tetrad has to do with the body. And so focusing on the body, and then relaxing the body. Tranquilizing the body, settling the body. And this idea of settling or relaxing or tranquilizing the body is a very important foundation to be able to go deep into the mind, to really let the mind relax. There's such a close interaction between the mind and the body that we want to have a relaxed, you know, body in order to do this practice. And because there's so much psychological stuff that's held in the body, to purify the body, to work through the tensions in the body, works through a lot of stuff. It's a powerful purification practice as well. Then to skip over the second for a minute, the third tetrad is the tetrad of the mind, or the mind states. And so here again, we're looking at the mind and developing the mind states that we have. So we're not just stuck in a particular mind state, but there are a variety of states of mind. You might say it in 1960s kind of language, states of consciousness. And there's a variety of altered states of consciousness that we go into. And so it's working with the mind states, developing the mind state, and developing an optimal mind state so that we can begin releasing, letting go. Letting go is not necessarily so easy to do, some of the deeper holdings we have inside of ourselves. So it helps to have a relaxed, soft, open, expansive mind and mind state for this deeper work of letting go. So the third one is the mind. The first one is the body. And the second tetrad is in some ways can be seen as the link between the body and the mind, or one of the links, because it kind of overlaps with both, the issue. And that is what's called vedana, or the feeling tone, the feeling tone of our experience. And so this is where we get familiar with our feeling tone of our experience. In particular, in meditation practice, within reason and in its own time, we're developing, doing two things in developing our feeling tones. One is developing helpful feeling tones, helpful feelings in the body and mind. So ones that are joyful and happy, bring a sense of well-being. Because with a sense of well-being, again, it's easier to do the deeper work. So we're cultivating a sense of well-being in the practice. And then also we're becoming familiar with not the mind state per se, but the mental activity of the mind. And some of that has to do with preferences, wanting, not wanting. We have pleasant feelings, we have unpleasant feelings. And then there's all this activity of being for and against that. And it's really kind of embarrassing how much of the human psychology is a reaction to pleasant and unpleasant. Sometimes great philosophies have their origin in someone not liking something or liking something. And then you want to kind of explain that or defend it or justify it. So in the second tetrad, there's then becoming aware of the mental activity that we have and the consequences of the kind of mental activity that goes on. And then there's also tranquilizing that mental activity. So the first tetrad, we're tranquilizing the body. The second tetrad, we're tranquilizing the mental activity, a lot of it which has to do with reactivity, a fair amount which has to do with reactivity to pleasant and unpleasant. And then the third tetrad has to do with mind state and cultivating a concentrated, open mind state that helps us to release. We start releasing kind of some of the holdings we have, some of the clingings, the hindrances, for example. And then the fourth tetrad has to do with the Dharma. And this Dharma has to do with beginning understanding the patterns or the processes by which we either suffer or we become free. So not just simply seeing how things are, not just simply relaxing things, but being able to see the process aspect of our life. And the key one here is seeing impermanence. Because when you see impermanence, when you see things arise and pass, then you start seeing that things are in process. You don't see things as being fixed, stuck entities. So you see the process in things. And as we appreciate the arising and passing of it, then there's also a beginning of, in a healthy way, there's supposed to be a beginning of becoming dispassionate or disenchanted towards those things that we see arising and passing. Rather than clinging to them or having tremendous resistance, there's this wise way of becoming disenchanted or dispassioned to this. And then that process of disenchantment, dispassion, then leads to eventually to the cessation of our clinging, to the ending of it. And this is one of the things we're looking at, the ending of that clinging. And then finally, with the ending of clinging, seeing the ending, and we really see the ending of something, then we can become, there's a stronger tendency, stronger motivation to let go once and for all. And so the last 16th stage is called relinquishment. Breathing in, I relinquish. Breathing out, I relinquish. So that's what we'll talk about a little bit today, is this last two steps, the explore of cessation and relinquishment. So that's kind of the overview. And I thought we would go through it a little bit slowly, and as we meditate through the day, and then the afternoon we'll talk about these things about the cessation and relinquishment some more. Okay, any questions?